we were talking last week and saying how knowing what God said is important. It's so important because you will never hear what he's saying unless you know what he already said. Our problem comes because we question everything. See, I grew up in the 60s when that was the catchphrase, question everything. And then I was put in a position where we weren't allowed to question anything. Yeah. We were told, you know, you sold your soul. See, and as Christians, we have to realize what the chief told me some few years ago, or as Jimmy Swaggart would say, the other day, once you volunteer, you give up every right. If you were drafted into Christianity, that's different. Draftees had rights because there was no declared war. If there's a declared war, even draftees don't have rights. But in a police action, you have rights. And the chief said, you are government property. I saw men get court-martialed because they got sunburned. They couldn't do their job. If you can't do your job, guess what? You damaged government property, and they were court-martialed. I can remember going back to my ship May 12th, 1967, excited to tell them we had gotten married 6 days before. Wasn't too excited when they said that's a court-martial offense. You didn't get permission to get married. I believe they were quoting scripture. They didn't know it. What? Know you not that you are not your own? And I had to have the captain declare it okay. Because you see, on a ship, an admiral can't tell a captain what to do. A captain is Pharaoh, so to speak. He gets to decide what's right and wrong. And he said, as long as it's not going to interfere with your job, I'm going to let it go. But know this, I'm watching you. Because you are not your own. See, that's what God says to us. We just don't look at it that way. And it wasn't just that I got married. I mean, I was an E2 at the time. No one has rights, but E2s have less. Yeah. And so the whole idea was I didn't know what was said, so I wasn't really understanding what they were saying. By the end of that year, I knew exactly what was going on, because then I was the one saying, you have no rights. You will do what I said. And people, it's not just important. Follow me, we would say. Follow me. And Rocky, you may remember, if your point man, remember what I said. But if my hand went up, because you don't want to talk, if your foot is up, don't put it down. You might be putting it on a mine. So you don't have to just be listening to what was said. Be aware of what I'm saying. So we said all that because of where we're heading. A few sermons back, I told you about the Ephraim. Ephraim is the word that's translated Hebrew. You know, they were first called Hebrews or Israelites, or we call them Jews, you know, Hebrew. But have we ever, we say, words mean things. So what does Hebrew mean in Hebrew? Yeah. I mean, Ephraim means Hebrew. Okay, call it wheelbarrow and go on. But what does Hebrew mean in Hebrew? Hebrew means the one who crosses over. The one who crosses over. And see, we said earlier, maybe God closed a lot of churches. Why? It isn't that they haven't come to the cross. Because, see, Hebrew is the one who crosses over. How did they get into the promised land? They crossed over the Jordan. But Hebrew doesn't mean to cross over once. It means you have to cross over twice. Because, see, they didn't just cross over the Jordan. They had to cross over the Red Sea. In Genesis chapter 11, it's the call to Abraham. This is where we fail. I tell people this all the time, and they don't believe me. And like I say, I'm not that smart. He is. He's the one who says this. If you cross over once, you're lost. You're lost. If you cross over twice, you're okay. Listen to what he says, crossing over. The Lord said to Abraham, chapter 12, verse 1. I'm sorry, Jay. I keep forgetting. You're going to put it up there. He says, go out from your land and your relatives. Do you remember there's some place that says, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and shall cleave unto his wife. One of the most misinterpreted statements, I believe. People use it to justify not having relationships with their parents. I'm supposed to cross over into... He says, get out from your land and your relatives and your father's house. There's no debating this. To the land that I will show you. In other words, I will never take you to where you're going if you don't leave where you are. Christians want to stay where they are and kind of do, I think it's in book Revelation, where they have, it's one foot's on the land and one's on the sea. That works for God. It doesn't work for you. We want to have our reward in heaven and our bank account in Babylon. And it doesn't work. He says, if you don't get out, I'm not going to show you where to go. And we keep our old friendships. I'm not saying you need to be mean to people, but let me tell you something. They're not going to help you. What's going to happen is, different day, same stuff. You will go right back to where you've been. Now, if you don't want to go there, don't go there. If you left there, why are you going back? Did a sermon years ago called Slop Bucket Religion, where the prodigal son, just in case his daddy wouldn't accept him, said, you know what? I better take some of these pea pods home with me. So he took a slop bucket with it, the last one. He didn't give it to the pigs. And you know why the pigs wouldn't share with him? Because they were hogs. Mm-hmm. They'll get that in a little bit, you know. But think about it. slop bucket really, we carry it. And he kept it in his closet, yeah, just in case Daddy didn't feed me tonight. What if Daddy doesn't take care of me tonight? What if I sit down and there's nothing to say grace over? Say grace anyway. Say grace anyway. He says, if you do the first crossover, I'll take you to the second. But I will never take you to the second unless you leave. What's more important? What's more important? Am I the Lord of your life or am I not? It says, I will make you into a great... He already told him what he's going to do. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those, you know, I think King James puts it this way, curse those who curse you, but that's not what it says. This is actually what it says. I will curse those who treat you with contempt. See, you don't have to curse me. Just don't treat me right. Yeah. That's what he says. And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. So he says, all that will happen if you are truly a Hebrew, if you are one who crosses over. I'm leaving it. I'm leaving it. I believe there's a country song, Heads California, Tails Carolina. Yeah. All I know is we're not staying here. We are not staying here. We are moving on. Abraham had no clue to where he was going. He just knew who was going with him. See, our problem is, I'll go, God. But, and I tell people this all the time, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. So, we should know where we're going. God doesn't always tell us, except one thing. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. See, I know where I'm going. I just, you know, I'd like a little more detail, God. And other days I say, I'm glad I didn't know the details of this day. You know, when I started out, you know, Rocky's been helping me the past couple weeks. And about 6 o'clock in the morning, a little after 6, I called Giant up on 17. And I say, do I need to come up there today? And he'll say, well, it can wait till Tuesday, or I don't have much. Yesterday, I didn't call. Because those of you who are helping know there were 96 milk crates that had to go back. So I had to go up there no matter what. So I didn't call. About 7 o'clock, my phone rings. It's Todd from 17. He said, you are coming today, aren't you? I said, well, yeah. He said, well, I have 15 cases of eggs. Wow. Yeah. That's just to remind you, you leave here without Rocky, I want a list of everybody who leaves here without eggs in their hands. Yeah. We need them going. Yeah. You don't have to know. You just have to hear what he's saying at the time. And so God says, he is not, in the New Testament, he is not a Hebrew that is a Hebrew inwardly. He's a Hebrew that is one that crosses over. You have to cross over. You have to leave. Abraham, before he made it to Hebrews chapter 11, isn't that odd? The whole book is called He Who Crosses Over. Yeah. before he made it in the great faith chapter, he had to cross over from where he was. And scripture says he had no clue where he was going. People, that describes a lot of us, but not for the same reason. And then he says in Exodus, there's a whole book written on crossing over called Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 and verse, let me see, we'll do 51, the other 31. On the same day, the Lord brought the Israelites. Where was he taking them to? The promised land. Where was he taking them to? The land that will flow with milk and honey. Where was he taking them to? The land that he promised Abraham. But it couldn't happen. It couldn't happen until on that same day the Lord brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt according to their divisions. And there were divisions. How do I know there were divisions? Because some people said they crossed the Red Sea. You know, life wasn't that bad in Egypt. I mean, okay, we had to make bricks. They took away our straw. Okay, we had to make bricks without straw. But we've been here now, I don't know, 10, 15 weeks. When was the last time, you know, you turned to your Israelite friend and said, when was the last time you said, what's for dinner? I'm getting a little sick and tired of this manna. I'm getting a little sick and tired of waiting on God. I'm getting a little sick and tired. He said, pray and it'll happen. Well, I'm praying and it's not happening. I'm getting a little... I remember what it was like in the world. Yeah. I could phone a friend. I'd have a 50-50 chance of getting it right. He says, yeah, you left. But you never left. You never left. It's still living rent-free between your ears. You remember how good it was. How we remember the flesh pots of Egypt. I don't know, from what I've read about slavery, there weren't too many flesh pots. I don't think the food was that great for the slaves in Egypt. They kept them healthy enough to make bricks without straw. That's what they kept them healthy enough to do. I don't think slavery was that great. But you know, you're talking to a Hebrew friend, and he says, yeah, don't you remember bricks without straw? I say, yeah, but it's hot. It's hot. And in Egypt, when we were making bricks without straw, they had a water pot, and we could go get water whenever we wanted. Now we have to wait until he provides it. We could eat. Okay, the food wasn't that great, but it was there. Now it's only there and in the morning. And if I don't feel like coming out tomorrow morning, guess what? I don't have any food. And if I make plans and say, you know what? I'll take twice as much today. Yeah, maybe we should institute that at the storehouse. If you take twice as much, it's going to turn to worms before you eat it. Yeah. Yeah. Think about what he's saying. He's saying, first, the word, you have to hear it. before you can hear what he's saying now. What was said, what I'm saying. Leaving before you enter. This may surprise you. I like going to Disney. But I have never gone to Disney without leaving my driveway. Yeah. I can sit there. You know, my engine's running about 12 hours to get down there. And I can sit in my driveway with my engine running 12 hours. And at the end of 12 hours, you know where I am? In my driveway. Or about halfway down, I can say, I'm getting tired. If I was home, I wouldn't be tired. I could take a nap. People, forgetting those things that are past, and we just don't look at it that way. We want it. There's nothing wrong with it. Well, there is something wrong with the good old days. They were neither good, but they were old. I don't want to get back to the way it was. See, people say, I just want it back. See, I mean, Ward and June Cleaver, people, it was a TV show, for goodness sake. You know, we were talking about Archie Bunker earlier. TV show. I don't want to get back to the way it was. I want to get back to the way he said it would be. I mean, let's face it. The way it was simpler times. You know why it was simpler times? Because cars only lasted 45 to 50,000 miles, for goodness sake. Every 5 to 10,000 miles, you had to put new spark plugs in. My son was going down 64 one time, calling me, my car stopped. I pulled the distributor cap off, and the points had gone straight up. Yeah. All I did was bend them back down. Most of you don't know what points are. Let me talk to somebody who's old enough to know what points are. Yeah. I mean, think about it. I don't want to go back. Now, they didn't change the spark plugs in my car till I had 120,000 miles on the vehicle. Mike scheduled it. I remember that. Yeah. I don't want to go back. They weren't the good old days. We say they were simpler times. They weren't. Stuff didn't last as long. Say, well, stuff lasted longer. I told Eli the other day, you know, they said they need a refrigerator. I said, go up to camp meeting. There's 50-year-old refrigerators that are still running. Now, the box in them is only this big. It won't hold ice cream cold, but it's working. Yeah. He says, you have to leave before you can get, you have to leave where you were. That's what Hebrew means. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, I'm adjusting my glasses. Say, I have to learn. I need my arms are just long enough. Isn't that odd the way God designs that? He gives you arms that are just long enough. And then man says, I can improve on that. I'll give you something so you can see at any distance. And God says, I don't want you to see it at any distance. I want you to see it the right distance. And the right distance is the way I designed you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Common text. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Look, all things have become new. We have to be a Hebrew. Old things have passed away. I like old vehicles. Mike has one of my dream cars. His isn't up and running yet. That 57 Thunderbird. I mean, let's face it, people. They were nice cars for 50,000 miles. Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to have it. But I'd want one with a new engine. You know. better AC. And God says, it's know what I said so you can hear what I'm saying, but you'll never hear what I'm saying if you stay where you were. If you still hang around, guess what? You're still going to hear the same jokes. You're still going to see the same things. And here's how it'll work out. Someone actually said this to me not too long ago. They said, you know the movie you should see? And I'm thinking, not really, but I'm sure they're going to tell me. And then they went, oh, it's not really that bad. Then why should I see it? Yeah. You know the movie I want to see? The one Mary's talking about. Looking at the sky, preferably to the east. Yeah, that's the east. And I'm seeing the scene. It's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. That's the movie I want to see. Yeah, the movie I don't need to be entertained. God entertains me. Yeah. He has a great sense of humor. And if I ever forget that, all I have to do is look in the mirror. They'll get that later too, Wendell. Yeah. Think about it. Carol, coming in this morning, Carol says, well, hello, handsome. I said, well, you do need glasses, you know? Yeah. People, think about it. Think about what he's saying. What's in a name? What's in a name? Hebrews. He who crosses over. He who crosses over. That means you are a new creation. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you, it doesn't say you were in darkness. It says you were darkness. So when I was in the service, one of the guys who worked for me, his neighbor was Charles Schultz from Peanuts. And so one day we went up to his house and went over to visit his neighbor. I love Peanuts. Remember Pigpen, wherever he went? He took that cloud with him. That's what this is saying. You're Pigpen. You take that darkness wherever you go. You know? Wherever you go. Don't tell me you don't know people like this. Oh, here they come again. I'm not asking them, how's it going? Why? Why? Because they might tell me. Yeah, you were one star. Wherever you went, you were Pigpen, and darkness just seemed to follow you. You know, there wasn't any joy you couldn't suck away. Wherever, yeah, Eeyores, Christian Eeyores, how's it going? Oh, it's been rough. It's been rough. Turn and say to them, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get a lot rougher. This says, for that was you, wherever you went. Wherever you went, you were able to suck the joy out of the situation. But now, it says, but now. Oh, sorry. Need to get my arms working. Thank you, Jesus, for making my arms the right size. But now, if you become a Hebrew and cross over, you left the darkness, but you have to come into the light. 40 years. 40 years for, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say for a 2-month journey. They could have made it there in a lot less than 2 months. 40 years. Why? Because they never left Egypt. Oh, they left it physically. But mentally, they were still there. See, we leave. Yeah. I like what Oswald Chambers says. You know, one of the things that is good and bad about Alcoholics Anonymous is they say, hello, I'm Charles and I'm an alcoholic. No, you're not an alcoholic. You were. You were. You were. But you're not now. Today, I am free at last. Free at last. Praise God Almighty, I'm free at last. You see, I drink all the alcohol I want. I smoke all the cigarettes I want. I just don't want. Yeah, that's all. Because for at least 10 years in the pulpit, I would come out of the pulpit and go, man, a cigarette would taste good right now. I was still over there remembering how good they tasted. I remember all the good times. I remember crawling up the gangplank, Eli, and the OOD said, you drove that Jeep here? And we looked up and said, we had to, we couldn't walk. That's not the good old days. I don't want it anymore. I want to be drunk, but like the people in Acts. I want to be so filled with the Spirit that like when the guy came up to me yesterday in Giant and said, there's the man that blessed me. I said, no, there's the man that blessed you. He blessed you. Now, he may use us to do it, but we can't bless anybody. Only he can bless them. And until we understand that, we're still in darkness. We have to leave it and come into the glorious light. Because I'm telling you, people, there ain't nothing like it. There is nothing like praying and believing, not hoping, believing God's going to answer it. Now, he doesn't always answer it the way I want. I don't know why he doesn't pay more attention to me. I mean, if he knew Stan the way I knew Stan, he'd treat Stan the way I do. That's the way we think. Instead of saying, you know what? Wild guess, but it might be in here. He forms Stan in his mother's womb. He knows just what Stan needs, just when he needs it. He knows Wendell didn't need that text on his phone from himself. Stan needed it. Yeah. Now, he used Wendell. I mean, it didn't hurt Wendell. But he needed to see it. Why? Because he formed him in his mother's womb. He already knew he wrote the song. God didn't have to remind him he wrote it. He knew he wrote it. But it was Stan who's going, wow, tell him the story. Tell him the story. Tell him the story. I'm telling you. See, that's what happens. God will take you if you leave. But he will never bring you in. See, we all want to come in without ever leaving. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Jim and Kay are about to embark on their, what do we call it? Not riot tour, protest tour. But that'll never happen if you don't leave Jersey. Yeah. You have to pull out of your driveway. You know? And let me tell you something. If they go 100 yards from their house, they're not on their way. They're still in their driveway. And so we come a little ways. I think there's a song that says, "All the way my Savior leads me." All the way. All the way. All the way. I remember coming back to Kay from Vietnam, and only the government would do this. They flew us south to the Philippines, then flew us over to Guam, then flew us over to Okinawa, then flew us up to Alaska, and then flew us down to Seattle, Washington, and then to San Francisco to get me to San Diego. And I'm going, yeah, why? You know why? Because God draws straight with crooked lines. He got me back to her, but through crooked lines. And it didn't matter. Once she showed up with that pot of ravioli my mama had made. It didn't matter that I went like this. Why? Because I had arrived. But I wasn't going to get that ravioli till I left Vietnam. Yeah. Think about it, people. You can stay in the combat zone or you can leave it. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you and you and you and you. And if I go, what was that movie? What About Mary? Yeah. Look to the east. Look, start watching the sky. Don't just see the hues of pink. Look for that cloud about the size of a man's hand. Because soon and very soon, I won't say we're all going home. I am. You want to come? I'm trying to think of that song we sang in Spanish. You know, when we went down to Dominican Republic. You know. Bienvenidos todos. CC todos. Bienvenidos todos. Bengay Bominos. Everyone is welcome. Welcome, welcome. Everyone is welcome. Come and go with us. That's what God says. Let's bow our heads. Father, everyone is welcome. If we will leave and enter in to the glorious light. Father, it's all about the Hebrew. Father, the one who crosses over, first crossing over to leave where we were, and then crossing over into what you have prepared for us. Oh, Father, how dare we neglect so great a salvation? Why would we want to stay in this sin-sick earth when you have prepared a place where there's no pain, no sickness, no death, no virus? Huh. Father, glorify yourself through us. And it can't happen, Father, unless we cross over once and cross over twice. Thank you for the second crossover. And thank you, Father, for the wisdom to take the first one. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. to watch Calvary. Why? Because it says, now to him who is able to protect you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory. His name was changed to Blameless Barabbas. Presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all times, now and forever. Amen.